Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Tes. We're holding the fifth line for the top of the Amid, Ahu Machta. We're continuing to talk about Hilchos Trefos, and in particular, at this time, we're not talking about the Reya, we're talking about the Kovet. But you'll see that there are similar concerns, as we'll see in the Gemara. So Machta, they found a needle, the Ishtakach was found, with Simpuna Rabba de Kapta, in the large Simpuna of the Kovet, of the liver. Normally we're familiar with the term simpuna when it comes to the lungs, because the Mishnah already said, Rabbi Shimon said, achetinokiv lebeis ha-simpoinois, and those are referring to the big bronchi that you have inside lungs. But the word simpuna rab also means a major segment of the kaved. According to the article, they think that maybe this is the vena cava. I thought vena cava related to the heart, but apparently it's related to the liver as well. I'm sure all of you have certain ideas about where the vena cava is. But regardless, you have this machat that you found inside the kovet, inside the liver. Huna mar bereid rav idi torf. Huna says it's trefa. This animal is not kosher. Ravada bar minyumi machshir. Ravada bar minyumi says it is kosher. Now, you recall from our Mishnah, the fact that you have a hole in the kovet is not a problem. In fact, the Mishnah said, among the elu treifas was, niftel ha-kovet v'lidishtayim imenu klum, that the kovet is totally missing. And the Gemara was medayik, as long as you have a visceral kovet, that's already sufficient that the animal would not be treif. The Gemara asked the steer, because it's a later Mishnah, which we're going to have in another few days, that says that as long as there's a kezias left of the kovet, it's kosher. Yeah. So therefore, we're talking about most of the kovet in the Mishnah, not in our Gemara. Most of the kovet, if it's totally lost, in other words, it's dissolved, deteriorated, no kovet left except a mashahu, our Mishnah says, still kosher, because it can regenerate and can live the way it is with such a situation. More later on says, ask me at least a kezias, and then it can go and regenerate. So we see clearly from that, that even if you're missing a major part of the kovet, nish gefährlich in terms of Hilchos Treifos. However, what the problem is, how did this machat get in the kovet in the first place? Typically, animals that are created by Kodesh Baruch Hu don't have needles in their kovet, inside their liver. So it had to come from somewhere else. So the two likely places that it came from was either it came through the Kona means through the windpipe, and or that it came through the Veshet, which of course is the food pipe. Esophagus, previous one is the trachea, respectively. Yeah, okay. So now, if it came through the Kona, we would be okay. Why would be okay? Because Kona means that that happens to be the windpipe, so it went straight through, didn't make any holes, just went straight through. And then it went lower down and lower down. Now, how did it get into the Kovet? Doesn't the kana go into the lungs? And the truth of the matter is, yes, the major part of the kana goes into the lungs. But you'll remember that we had in the Gemara previously, back on Mem Hei Amid Beis, that the kana eventually subdivides into three smaller kana. Yeah, really? We had that? Yeah. Back on Mem Hei Amid Beis, the Gemara said on the second wide line, Omer Ameim Mishmeimid Rav Nachman, Tlosa Koni Hava, there are three konim, three such windpipes, and Rashi said that they all start off with the big windpipe, the big trachea. Rashi says Tlosa Koni Hava, La'achasha Koni Nichns, I'm looking at the Rashi on Mem Hei Amid Beis, Mem Hei Amid, 45b. Tlosa Koni Hava, there are these three pipes, La'achasha HaKoni Nichnas L'choza, Mispatzel L'shloisha. The Koni now subdivides into three subdivisions. And what happens to it now? Said the Gemara. Number one, Chad Porish Leliba, one goes into the heart. V'chad Porish Lereya, one goes into the Reya, into the lungs. V'chad Porish Lekavda, and the other one goes into the Kovet, into the liver. Ah! So that being the case, I can easily see why the Machat inside the Kovet would be kosher, because it did not have to puncture any organ of the body to get there into the kovet. It just went straight through. It went from the mouth into the windpipe, into, or next to the Reya, into the Kana of the Kavet, and now it got lodged in the Kavet, and it's sitting there nicely, and it's very happy, and during the summer, it waits for a sunny day, and everything is fine. So that's the Svara of Rav Ada Bar Minyumi that says that it's kosher. Huna Mar Bered of Idi that says that it's treif says, nah, it's unlikely that it came in through the Kana, because after all, the Kana is where you breathe, it's not where you eat. It's more likely that it came in through the Veshet. The Veshet, of course, being the food pipe. Now, why would the animal eat needles? Because the animal is not so careful about what it eats. For instance, it eats hay, and guess what happened? This time, the animal found the proverbial needle in the haystack and ate the hay together with the needle in the hay, which was in the haystack. And it went down the veshet. Veshet, of course, is the food pipe. It got to the stomach, and in the stomach it said, I don't see any point in sticking around over here. It's a lot of food, a lot of drink, and it's he said, I'm out of here. And guess what happened? So the needle went further and punctured the veshet, and eventually got to the kovet and made another hole in the kovet, so that it is now lodged in the kovet. The fact that it made a hole in the kovet, it's really malav and lemoyed, because even if you didn't have the kovet at all, except tamashu, still be kusha. But the problem is that to get to the kovet, it had to go through the veshet, so it made a hole in the veshet. Oy, yoy, yoy. So he had the first of the treifas, and our mishnah was nikva veshet. The veshet had a hole in it, and here... Otherwise, how did this needle get there in the kovet? It must have gone through the veshet.
Is the hole in the veshet, and then the hole is repaired, is the animal still a treifa? I mean, if the it's not just a question of it went through the veshet, but the veshet still has that hole, so it's kind of like a sveka. Maybe it came through the veshet. Maybe there's a hole, and you know, isn't it kind of remote?
Our Gemara doesn't address those issues. What I'm assuming is that you have your boidik, shoichen and boidkim after the behemoth was geshochten, and you do not have to be boidik any one of the organs except those that have a chazaka of potential of treifas, which typically means the rea. All the others typically don't have a problem. Yeah, of course it could be, but you don't have to check for it because it's highly unlikely that these things occur. So presumably what happened was he took the kana and the veshet. Anybody interested in kana veshet? No. And he just threw them in the wastebasket. And now, subsequently, they're subdividing the whole animal. They come to the kovet to liver. They want to make it for chop liver for Shabbos, and it's going to be delicious with aymetzi, but with a little bit of vegetables on the side to make a nice salad, etc., etc. And, hey, what happened? There's a needle here in this kovet. Where did it come from? How do I know? You think, I didn't put it there. It must have been the conovation. Where's the conovation? Langarovskevov, and they threw it out. We can't go and check the kana, we can't go and check the veshet. But we do know that there is a machat inside the kovet. Machlaikis. Machlaikis is based on how did the machat travel and get into the kovet. Did it go through the kana? No problem. Or did it go through the veshet? Yes problem. Says Agamon, it's a machlaikis. Asu shailul Ravina, they asked Ravina, and Ravina went squarely with those that were machshir, like Adabar Menyumi, Rav Adabar Menyumi, and Omlahu, and he said in a very dramatic way, Shkilu klima tretroifoi, those that are matrif, meaning Hunam Mar Bered Rav Idi, that said that it was treifa, based on the fact that he said it was treifa, you know what they did with the animal, with the all the basar of the animal, especially the kovet, they fed it to the dogs. Ay, ay, ay. And now Ravina says, you know how much this person lost as a result of selling it to the dogs? After all, dog fodder, dog food, is maybe 10% of the price of human food. That being the case, the owner lost 90%. Maybe it's not 10%. You're an expert,
right?
Not today. Not today. It's 50%.
Today is like three times more than the human food.
Yeah, it's more expensive. Yeah. And then you should get a refund. Anyway, in the times of Chazal, when people were a little bit more, I don't want to say normal, but they...
Sensible.
They, sorry?
Sensible.
Sensible. Oh, so then they would not go and feed good meat and good liver to the dogs, and this guy, unfortunately, fell it to the dogs. So now the owner incurred a major financial loss. Ravina said, no, huna mar berei de rav idi, you have to go and pay. And if you don't have any cash, and you don't have your American Express card to be able to go and pay, then go and take his shirt off his back. Like the Gemara says in other places, that if you have a mazik and he cannot pay, you go and take, and if you have a borrower who can't pay, you go and take glima mi al kaspoi. Even go and take the shirt from his back, he's got to pay his debts. Here too, you got to pay your debt. If you don't pay money, we're going to take the glima away.
Doesn't he have judicial immunity? I mean, he made
a rav. There's a discussion about that. Exactly what the case is it Torah B'dvar Mishnah or not? And did he himself go and feed it? If you want to go into this in greater detail, the article has a long note discussing what the ins and outs, not that the Balabas fed it, but that he himself, Hunan Bar Beredam Nosin, Rav Idi, he fed it directly, and that's the reason why he's chayv to go and pay. But that's a very good point. Now the Gemara continues on, and now we're going to talk about another situation, similar but different. Hayi kashiyasa. Kashiyasa means the pit of a date. The ishtakach b'mora, that you found inside the mora, inside the gallbladder. What's the story now? Omar Mashi, ki avinu be Rav Kahana, we learned in the Yeshiva Rav Kahana, Omar havadai simpoina noket vasoi. This is clearly that it came in a permissible way, meaning it did not go through the veshit, make a hole, and then land up in the mora, but rather it went through the kana, and then when somehow it gravitated, it got to the mora. Remember that the mora and the kovet were close together. You do not have to worry about that this pit of the date punctured veshits or other vital organs, because those of you that are familiar with pits of dates, they do not have sharp ends to them. They're not like a needle or something else which is sharp that can puncture. They're rather nice and smooth at the ends. So therefore you can assume if it got in the mara, it got in a way that did not cause a puncture, and therefore the animal is kosher. So that was what he was saying, and that's what they said in Rav Kahana's Besmedish, Havadi, Simpoin, and Nokav Yasoi. Now, Avagav Lekomaf Nafka, and even if you're going to tell me now, I'm trying to extricate that kashiyosa from the mara, and it's deeply, deeply embedded in the gallbladder. So it sounds like this was, yeah, a tough kashiyosa. The name kashiyosa suggests that it was kosher, that it was sharp and difficult and hard, and maybe that's how it got into the mara. Maybe it did perforate something. So you might, no. This is gunish. It's mirvel hu de karovel lay. What means mirvel hu de karovel? Says Rashi. When it originally got into the mara, it was nice and soft and everything was fine. However, as the animal over the days, months, and years, as it walks, as it does whatever it does, eventually, slowly but surely, this kashiyasa settled a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, until finally it got stuck on the bottom of the mora. And now, in fact, it's very difficult to get out. You're going to have to pull it out with a lot of strength. However, when it got in there originally into the mora, it was nice and weak and soft, a yishmak, you know, and an idle kint came in. But now that it's there embedded, so it's much more difficult to take out. But lamas, it's kusher, because it didn't make any holes. V'hani mina d'tikla, and that's only because we're talking about a pit that comes from a date, that comes from a dekel tree. Dekel tree is a palm tree or a date tree, which are usually the same. Then it's taka, nice and idle and fine and soft. After zveisa, you're talking about a pit from a zayis, from an olive. Those are much, much sharper at the end, and therefore, mivza baza, it can tear through the veshit and make its way into the mara, and therefore you have to be choishish that in fact this animal is treif. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, now we go for the first time in about 2 weeks. Abisla agadita. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikra shmo reya. How did the lungs get the name reya? Shemeira esoeinai. What means meira esoeinai? Of course, it means it enhances your eyesight. But here we're talking about not just in a spiritual form, we're talking about lamaisa medically. If you eat reya, that's healthy for the eyes. Really? That's what he's talking about. Iboilahu. La'achila oyade samon. La'achila means you just cut up a piece of reya and you make a brucha and you eat it, and Baruch Hashem, your eyesight is getting better. Or do you have to go and prepare it with samanim? Samanim over here doesn't mean just spices, but various medicines and medications, and you make a whole stew out of it, and this is an important ingredient in that type of stew, and then that helps out the eyesight. Toshima, says the Gemara, Very, very simple answer. Yamrafuna Bar Yehuda. Avza Bezuza. If you go into the marketplace and you want to buy an avza, anybody know what an avza is?
Goose.
And goose. What is a bar avza?
Duck.
A duck. A kachka. So an avza is a goose. Many, many years ago when we were learning this Gemara, so...
Avaz.
What's avaz in Hebrew?
Avaz.
That's good, but avaz is a duck or a goose?
It's
a goose.
You're not sure.
It's a goose.
So when I was, many, many years ago, we were learning the Gemara, so I touched it, the word avaz, I said a kachka. Kachka is a duck in Yiddish. And afterwards, Munya Bakenro, Tzchan Levrucha, came over to him. In the Haimam Galant, back in the yeshiva years, that an avze is a goose and a bar avze is a duck. So
barvaz.
Barvaz. Good. Good. So therefore, when you see the word avze, don't think that it's a duck, but rather it's a goose. It's fine. Al tzeh gut. So anyway, so what happens with this goose? He says that a goose is bezuza. If you go into the marketplace, you can go and buy a whole one goose for onesas. Reya dido, if you're buying the reya of that goose, barba, it costs 4 zuz. Sounds like you're... your dog food, like from before. 4 times as much. So, if you're telling me all you have to do with the ray is just cut a piece, boil it in water, or fry it, or roast it, and eat it, and then gishmak, and it helps the eye. So, linkit bezuzah v'leichel. Instead of going buying only the ray for 4, be much smarter. Buy the entire avza for 1. Either you shecht it, go to the shaykhid, he'll shecht it for 1 zuz, and you still make a profit. You don't have to go and spend 4 on the reya. Just buy the whole gans, a whole goose, and then you'll cut it up, give everybody else presents, you'll give them goose meat, and then you'll take for yourself the reya. You don't have to pay 4, you only have 1. El avalech, el ayidei saman, is the chasimin that has to be done with saman and with other medications, and that is already much more difficult and much more costly. That's why you have to pay 4. So, for those of you that have the Rabbeinu Gershom here on the side, he adds, if you will, a little bit more color to it. My Rabbeinu Gershom is a little bit past halfway down, about 2/3 way down. Iboyelahu, la'choil oy l'samamonim, kaloymer. Shemiyabshen oysa, when you say l'samamonim, means you dry out this piece of reya of the lungs. Vo'isim imen l'samamonim l'refu, and you make out of it some medication for refu. Says the Gemara, is it lachila l'samamonim? So it's right to the Rabbeinu Gershom. Elav l'samamonim, v'yikorehi, that's expensive l'inyin samamonim. She'en yoydin b'nei odom la'asoyisa samamonim echad me'elef. Only 1 out of 1,000 knows that secret recipe of taking the reya, mixing it with samamonim, and getting, as a result, a better eyesight. Since very, very few people know this, and that's why they're able to go and jack up the price and say, oh, you want reya to be part of this medical stew for your eyesight? No problem, but you're going to have to go pay for it. You're going to have to go and pay the 4. So you can say, let me just buy the whole goose for 1. Mazel tov. And then take a reya and you can eat for yourself, give it to 100 friends. But nothing's going to happen because if you say it has with some manam on its own, it's really worthless. With the samanam, oh, then it's... a very good medical discovery.
So you're paying for the samanim and the knowledge.
You're paying for the knowledge, exactly. Fine, next. In kibohareya, heichad memashmishma yodei de tafcha. After all, the tafcha normally means the shoichad or the boidik, whoever is now cutting open the geshachtana behema, and he's taking out all of the innards, including all of the vital organs. And, of course, he doesn't take it out by using a machine. He takes it out with his hands. And his hands, he may have fingernails, which are a little bit longer. And guess what happens? As he is taking out the reya and the lave and the dakin and the mora and all those other wonderful things, they now put the reya on the table and they say, okay, now let's inspect it. And they see that, in fact, that there is a hole there. But they're wondering, is this, in fact, a pre-existing hole? And therefore, the animal is a trefa. Or maybe this is a hole that was just made 2 minutes ago by the tavcha, the shochet, the bodek, the butcher. Accidentally, he didn't intend to do it, but just by holding it and taking it out of the body of the animal, maybe by accident, he made a small hole. And of course, if he made a small hole now, there's no problem. It's already after the shechita. So does the shaila, do am I choishish that this hole is a pre-existing hole, the animal's a treifa, or is it a brand new hole and it's kusha v'yusha? So in kvareya heicha, the mashmasha yodi de tavcha, where the hole was found in a place where the tabach holds and extricates the reya from the body, to linen, can we be toiler that it's from the tabach, and therefore it's kosher? I like to linen, or can we not be toiler? Zokti moras ha-machloikis, Rav Ada bar Nosin, from the Gemara later on it's mashmit, so Rav Acha bar Nosin, and that's why there's a change of gears on the side, Rav Acha bar Nosin, Omar. Tolina, we can be toila, and therefore we can say it's kosher. We can rely that it was the tabach that went and handled it and made a hole with his finger. Mary Omar, loy tolina. No, we cannot be toila. Ilchaso, and Allah is tolina, we can be toila that the tabach did it. Of course, it has to be a place where the tabach grabbed it and pulled it out. The bottom or the top or wherever the tabach did not put his hands, of course, if you find a hole there, so to go in a shelf and you can't be toiled on the tabach. Amr of Shmuel b'rei d'Rav Avo, Abba may reishi kale d'ruf from Hava. Rav Shmuel b'rei d'Rav Avo is saying, Abba, my father, presumably Rav Avo, may reishi, he was one of the heads of kale. Kale doesn't mean over here from a Lashon Kli, it means a roish kale, the yarche kale. As you know, in the good old days, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, in times of Chazal, they used to get together a month before, 2 weeks before, to go and darshan about all the halachas of the yontif. Hilchas chag b'chag, hilchas pesach b'pesach, so that everybody should know what to do, what not to do, and to be careful about, and this and that, the other thing. So it was called Yarchi Kalad, the months where everybody got together, which was typically El time right before Tishrei, and end of Adar, Nisan before Pesach. So they got together, this is the Yarchi Kalad. So the Mereshi Kalad means he was one of the heads. But Rashi says specifically, not that he was one of the organizers, but rather he was one of the Gemara calls elsewhere an Amoira, Amiroim. Amiroim are not only what we colloquially call Amiroim, the people of the Talmud, past the Zman of the Mishnah, but rather the Amiroim were also the loudspeakers, the human loudspeakers. You had a Rosh Hashiva, you had a Rav that was giving a drasha, and the people said, I can't hear. Speak louder. And of course they didn't have intercoms, they didn't have loudspeakers, so they had people that had these very deep, strong voices, where you could hear it very, very far. So he said about his father, he was one of those that would repeat the shir and say it out loud so everybody could hear it far back in the audience. Anyway, so Av Meresha Kalira from Hava, the Omar, and he said to lean on. So presumably what he's saying is that he heard it from Rafram or from the other great giants at that time. And they said, yeah, you can be toiled, that it's kosher. Amru kamei leho to marzut b'rei der meri. Remember, we had now a machloikis here. Marzut b'rei der meri said, loy to lean on. So we told Abba what marzut b'rei der meri had said. But like him, he says, okay, that's what marzut's view is, but we respectfully disagree. We hold to lean on. Omra Misharsha Kavasi the Avua the Abba Mistavra. Who was Avua the Abba? Says Rashi Rav Acha, fourth line of Rashi down below. It's Mistavra like Zaydi, Rav Acha. That's the Rav Acha bar Nosson that we spoke about earlier. That says Tola, Da Talinan B'Zeev. You have a parallel situation by Zaev, where we're Tola there. So therefore we'll probably be Tola here too. Now, what is the parallel situation by Ze'ev? So Rashi reminds us, we had this earlier on in the Perek, or actually early on in the Masechta. What happens if there were B'nai Me'ayim lying around after they shechted an animal, and then they had B'nai'ayim, the innards, was lying there on the table, and a Ze'ev, a wolf, came and grabbed it, took one smell and said, this is not for me, and brought it back and put it back on the table. And now they put it back on the table, we see that there are a bunch of holes in those B'nai Me'ayim. Nikva B'nai Me'ayim is treif. However, in all likelihood, these holes are not the holes that were there before. It was the Ze'ev that grabbed it with its claws, was not careful, didn't learn the Mishnah, you figure, it doesn't make a difference, you're treif, nishtreif. Anyway, so the Ze'ev put it back, and unfortunately a bunch of holes. So what's the problem? If the holds belong to Ze'ev, it's kosher. Yeah, the Gemara asks, maybe I should be choishes shembe memokim nekev nokav. In other words, it was a pre-existing hole. And then the Ze'ev wanted to make life easy for himself and says, you know what, Why should I have to go and create brand new holes? I'll put my claws in the existing holes. That's much easier, right? Good. So maybe I have to be concerned that this Ze'ev made a hole in already an earlier hole of the innards, and therefore it's treif, maybe. Says, well, no, I'm toilet. These are all brand new holes of the Ze'ev, and nothing to do with any pre-existing holes, and therefore it's kosher. So he says, similar over here too. I know that the Boydik had to go and pull out the Reya. Hopefully he didn't make it holy, but maybe he did, and I find holes over here. So just like by the Ze'ev, I can be toilet in the Ze'ev, that these are all new holes, not old ones. I'll be told over here too that these are new holes of the Boydik and not that they were pre-existing. Murna. Nevus meant a murna. So Rashi says that a murna is a tula'as. Tula'as is a worm. Hayoytzim an areya v'nakva. It went out of the reya and it made a hole in the wall of the reya. Uy, you have a worm that made a hole in the reya. The question is, when did the worm make the hole? Prior to Shechita, or now post Shechita? So Murna Pligi Bar Rav Yosef Bar Dusoi V'Rabban and Chad Omer Koydim Shechita Parish. And if that's the case, we have a hole in the lungs and it's treif. V'Chad Malach Shechita Parish. No, it came after the Shechita, and therefore it's not treif. V'Hilchasa Li'ach Shechita Parish. You can rely on the fact that it came out after the Shechita. Now this seems to be very, very strange. Why would the Murna leave earlier or later? Why am I giving the, after all, it's the chasofik diraisa when should be machmir? Why are we assuming la'ach shechita parish? So the article brings, I think, from the Chedushi Aran, that the Aran says that the morna, this type of worm, survives and flourishes and blossoms when it's a nice, moist atmosphere inside the reya. Ah, it's kishmak, and it's constantly air-conditioned because the air is coming in and out, the fans are going, and the morna loves it. After the behema is geschachten, all of a sudden everything collapses, the morna says, I'm out of here. I don't want to stay. It's now I'm suffocating. The doors are closed, the fans are off, the air conditioning is not working, and it's 95 degrees here inside this reya. I'm getting out. So it makes a beeline or a worm line, and it makes a hole in the reya, and it goes out. So therefore, says the morna, it's more mistave that the morna came out after Shechita than before Shechita, because before Shechita, the mourners love it there. That's how the worm got there in the first place. I'm a chaya in the reya. It's also Me'iris Anayim. Now the worm will be able to go and see better. I guess he knew what type of samamanim. Anyway, the point is, that's why we can be toil lahokel, because we assume they made the hole after the Shechita. Fine, right.
You found the worm?
Sorry, Nahul?
You found the worm?
We found the worm, and the worm was outside of the reya, and it was walking around and having a good time. And then we're wondering, where did it come from? So I look very carefully at the ray. Oh, there's a hole. That's the mourner hole that it went through. No question that the mourner made the hole. That's no shaila. Shaila is, when did it make the hole? If it made the hole before the shechita, then the animal is treif. If it made it post-shechita, then the animal is kosher. And we're told that it's after the shechita. Rabbi Shimon Oymet, back in our Mishnah, we had a machloikis between the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakhama says, as long as nechsera or nikva horeya, something is missing, or there's a hole, treif. Shimon says it's got to be a deep hole, not just a superficial hole. The hole has to go all the way into the base ha-simpoinos. Omer Rabba bar Tachlif, Omer Rabbi Yirmeh bar Abba, Ad she-tinokiv, the simpen godol, the major, huge bronchus, which is within all the smaller bronchi within the entire reya. Oh, if it, the hole went to simpen godol, that's a goner. That means this behemoth was a treif. Zokimor Yosef Rav Acha Bar Abba Kamed Rav Huna V'Yosef V'Komar, and he said the following: Omar Rabbi Meloich, Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halacha Krib Shimon. Said Rabbi Meloich. We're going to focus on this Rabbi Meloich two or three times now. Rabbi Meloich said, not that he said, but Rav Acha Bar Abba Kamed Rav Huna said. Rabbi Meloich said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halacha Krib Shimon, that it's only trace if it's a deep hole that goes not just superficially, one membrane, two membranes, got to go all the way into the simpan hagot. Amalei, so he said to him, Meloich, that Rabbi Meloich that you're referring to, Arva, the one that comes from Arabia, from the Arab countries, Kamris, you're referring to that Rabbi Meloich, you're making a big boo-boo. He didn't say halacha krib shimon. Ein halacha krib shimon ka'amar. He just missed one key word. That key word was ein. He said it's not like krib shimon. Okay, we're not done. Ki solik Reb Zeira, when Reb Zeira came up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei the Rabibi, the Yosef the Kamat, Omer Memoloich, Omer Reb Shimon Levi, Halacha ki Reb Shimon. Like that first version, the Paschal like Reb Shimon, Simpan HaGod. Omelei, so now Reb Zeira says to him, Chayid Amar, I'm now swearing in the name and in the longevity and mar of you, Dano, I, and Reb Chia Bar Abba, V'Rav Asi, we had like a bezin, the three of us, I, Reb Zeira, Reb Chia Bar Abba, Reb Asi, Ikloin La'asri de Meloich, we visited the town of Reb Meloich. And they were, oh, Reb Meloich lives here. No, Lamarain came to Reb Meloich, and they knocked on the door, Reb Meloich said, come on in. The Amrile, we said to him, tell us, I Omar Mar Halach Reb Shimon, did you talk a paskin in this case about the simpon that we paskin like Reb Shimon? It has to be nichnas at simpon hagadol. Is that what you said? You paskin like Reb Shimon? V'amalon, and he himself, I heard it personally from Amram Loich. Ein alach Reb Shimon. We do not paskin like Reb Shimon. Ein alach Reb Shimon Amri. V'at ma biyotcha, and tell me, what do you feel about all of this? In other words, you heard Reb Loich, you heard other Tanoim, Amir Tanoim, but you heard other great distinguished rabbis. What's your view? Amalei hachi, Reb Yitzchak bar Ami, Reb Shimon Levi, halacha ke Reb Shimon. And that's how I hold that, not like Reb Loich, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, that the only time the neck of his matrif goes all the way into the simpon hagod. But now the Gemara on its own concludes, the ein halacha Reb Shimon. So this is, you have to kind of put a big exclamation point after Reb Shimon Levi halacha Reb Shimon, that Reb Zeira is saying, that's how I paskin halacha Reb Shimon. But now the Gemara is saying at the end, about lemaisa ein halacha Reb Shimon, we do not follow Reb Shimon after all. Now who's the one that put that together, the ein halacha Reb Shimon? So if you look 5 lines to the bottom of the Rashi, ein halacha Reb Shimon, Talmudic apostle. This is no longer part of the discussion between Reb Zeira and the Reb Meloich and Reb Yitzchak bar Ami and Reb Shimon Levi. There's now the Gemara saying, bottom line is, look it up in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is the yeshiva achroina. Yeshiva achroina means that that's the final time that they sat to discuss this issue. That's the Pashup Shad. There's a slightly different girsa, that not achroina, but achroinim. You see in the Hagoyis v'tzionim, yeshiva so achroinim. That's what it says in that letter. So it means that the achron sheba achroinim, all the latest amiroim, they finally got together. How are we going to paskin? Nifsiku halochas halolu hapsukais stam bigmar. Where you find the gemara stam? It says v'hilchasa. Oh, who put this hilchasa together? It wasn't only Ravin and Ravashi, who were the codifiers of the Shas, but it was the yeshiva of the achroinim, the yeshiva achroinim, the last generation that dealt with this in the Amoraic period. They're the ones that decided that ain halach. Now, since we spoke,
they wrote it into the Gemara.
I don't know if they wrote it. Ravin and Ravashi were the codifiers. They put together the Gemara, and they probably got a letter, or they spoke to the people, called them by telephone, and got a fax or an email. What did you paskin legabi this halacha of the Reyer? Does it have to be simpan agadol? Yes and no. Do we hold like Tanakam Reb Shimon? They said we paskin ain halacha Reb Shimon. I don't know if he was in the Yeshiva Achrayna, but he quoted from them. That's what Rashi is pointing out, that when it says in the Gemara, Halacha Zoy, Hilchas Zoy, we shouldn't think that this is whoever wrote that piece of Gemara, whether it's Ravina or Ravashi or both together, but it was only after they heard the final decision being made by the Yeshiva Achrayna or the Yeshivas Achraynim, that final generation, where after all the discussion over the generations back and forth, they said, ah, azay paskin min halacha lamaisa, and then they moved on to the next halacha. But since we're talking about, in fact, halacha psuka, I had meant to mention this the other day, and I forgot, so I'd like to bring this to your attention, because I think it's fascinating. On the top of Mem Ches Amid Aleph, in other words, yesterday's Amid Aleph, at the very top, we didn't learn this yesterday, we learned it at the tail end of the shir on Tuesday. Remember, they asked about, I'm looking at the top 3 lines, Hislia, Kovid Shula, what happens if the Kovid gets Hislia, gets wormy? Kovid, of course, being the liver. What's the din now? It's Zehu Yamaisva, Alu Alea, Beni Asya came up, Gimu Regolim Li Yavne, to Yavne, 3 Regolim, and the first 2 times the Sanhedrin that was staying in Yavna, remember we said that at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin it says, not the end, but in Masechta Sanhedrin it says that shortly before the Churban HaBayis, the Sanhedrin had to move from station to station. They could not stay in Yerushalayim. Presumably it was because of Roman persecution. Anyway, so one of the stancias, one of the places that they were for a period of time was in Yavna. So for the first two times they came, they didn't answer them. The third time, Mitiru Lehem, they say, Ya Mutalach, Isliya Kovid is kosher. The question, of course, is, I know that people are Oyle Gimel Ragon to Yerushalayim. And I know the Sanhedrin is not sitting in Yerushalayim, they're sitting in Yavne. But why would they be Oyle Regio to Yavne, since you don't bring Kabbonis, there was no Beis HaMikdash in Yavne. If had there been a Beis HaMikdash, it would be Shchut Echutz, because you got to go and bring your Kabbonis in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So, Oy Bazoi, so what is this going up three regolim liyavna? Oh, so there's a fascinating Rashi over here, a Likute Rashi, Shaykh Ladafnam Zayin. I see that he has, yeah, okay. Does he have in the bottom? Adkan Shaykh Ladafnam Zayin. That's with Yikusa. Chituchadiyun, yeah. There's a whole different Girsois over here. In Gulayra, Nekim Nokva, that's current. Maybe he has it over here. Excuse me for 1 second. There you are. You apparently have the right.
Right here.
Okay, let me see. Okay, you can hold on to it because I borrowed the Gemara from Ariel. He's such a nice person. He lent it to me even absentio, even though he's not here. But Likutei Rashi here, maybe it's somewhere there, you got to find it. He brings from Rashi in Yevamos. Says Rashi, Gimel Regalim. Tlosa Rigli, three regalim, Shayu Talmidei Chachamim Nikbatzim Lishmoya Drosha Hilchos Pesach BePesach. Ah, like you just heard from Brother Shai, it's like the Yarchi Kala that we just spoke about in the Gemara, that even though unfortunately there's no Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless they would go together to go and hear, the Talmidei Chachamim would get together to hear Droshes, what the Halachas are, and spread it among the people. Everybody should know Hilchos Pesach BePesach, Sukkos BeSukkos, etc. Voice of She'elis Mehem. And at that time, the Bnei Asya came and said, "Oh, you're darshaning. Let's ask you a question unrelated to Hilchos Pesach, but we wanted to know his Liyah Kovei, etc." And then he brings Ubechuvas Agoyne Matzasi Kol Hanach Rigli De Amiroi. Whenever we find in the Gemara such an expression that the Oyle Regel to Amiroi, we're not talking about Yontif, not just Loisha Regolim. We're not talking about Yarche Kala. Haini Yoim Shemais by Adam Godoil. It was the yard site of a great individual. Mendy gave out the Maimorim today, such beautiful Maimorim about the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal and about Reb Shneur Kotler Zatzal. Oh, on that day of the yard site, on Gimel Tammuz, then Koiven Ois Lechvoide, they would make Aganza Kvias, Droshes, and Shiurim, the covet of the Nifter, Umide Shana Bishana, and every year on the yard site, Kishamagia Ois Yoim, Miskabtsim Tamid Chachamim, Mikol Sviva, from all the shtetla, from all the shtetla harum and harum, they would come together to hear the shiurim and the drashas. Uboy malkivroi im sharaam lohoishiv yeshiva sham, and they would come to the Pesachayim to go and presumably say tilim, etc. And then they would come out and be moishiv yeshiva, and they would learn on that day in the schus of the neshama, and also to remember the greatness of that great Odom Godel that passed away on that day. So therefore, the shloisha rigli, nothing to do with Regolim, it has to do with the third yard site. They finally answered the question.
Third yard site? Or
it doesn't say who it was. It just says that they came, it's the first tikkun, the Likutei Rashi. Rashi Nivamas. So, in our
Gemara. The voice of Chabad.
No, what was that one? It was probably unlikely that it was Lubavitcher Rebbe's yard site in the Gemara because he was not alive at that time. I'm sure the Neshama was somewhere. Anyway, but bottom line is that the Shloisha Rigli is referring to the yard site. So it could be over here too, when the Yeshiva Achrayna, the guy, well, that doesn't sound like the Yeshiva Achrayna, it sounds like that they are now getting together to say, okay, the Shulchan Aruch has not been published yet, the Rambam has not been published, let's go and collect together all the Piskei Halacha for our generation and future generations. Could be, I do not recall offhand.
When they had to, when they fled
Yerushalayim,
they put out the menorah.
But you're referring
to Elizabeth Herkus.
And the Gemara in Kamsa Bar Kamsa, it says about Yechim Mazaki, put a menorah. And then the Kaiser asked him, "Nu, what can I help you with?" So he said he has three bakoshes. One of the bakoshes was, "Ten liyav nebechachameha, give me Yam Nechamim. In other words, I know, unfortunately, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed sooner or later. I know they're all going to go into Golis, but protect the Tami the Chumim from Yavna, that they should be able to continue to flourish and bless.
It was the grotto of Yavna, so maybe this have to mention
I don't even know that he was in Yavna. He just knew that Yavna is a great, great place. I don't live in Yerushalayim, unfortunately, but I know that Yerushalayim is a great place. I know Bnei Brak is a great place, and a lot of places are great. Unless so, did he live there? Maybe he did.
But he had an instinct that Yavna would be the future of the Jewish people.
Exactly right. So that being the case, we're going to continue on. Nikva HaKeva, we have now a hole in the cave. Keva, remember, is one of the four stomachs of your normal kosher animal. Wow. You have the Keva and the Keres, the Hemsis and the Beis HaKoisos. So you have a hole in the Keva that can also make you treif. Now, the Keva has two other distinctions. What two other distinctions? In other words, not only Gabi Hilchus Treifus. Number one, as you all know, and we're going to have this later on in our Masechta, in the good old days, besides giving matonois to the Kohanim of Karbonois, for instance, you brought a Karbon Shlomim, a Karbon Toida, you had to go and give the Choze V'Shoik to the Kohen. Even if you're not bringing a Karbon, you're just stam shechting your regular, normal animal. You also have to give matonois to the Kohen. What matonois? Zeroya lechoyayim v'hakeva. Ooh, keva. That's one of those four stomachs. Huh. You have to give that to the kohen.
But that one you give to his wife because it's a keva.
Yeah. When it says zeroya lechoyayim v'hakeva, does it mean the keva mamish or any one of the four stomachs?
No, we mean the keva mamish. Keva mamish. Good.
The keva mamish.
We're going
to
have
his
on the. It's
the
one
wife?
Of the four stomachs. Give it to the kohen. Yes.
What
do you think he did with it? He put it up on the wall and he made a picture out of it.
He
made a painting. I don't see, you know. He said, why are you asking?
It's known in the Sephardic that they made out of the keva and the oat, they make a special dish.
Make a special
dish,
see?
It's a long time to process it and to clean it up, but it's known to be...
Yeah, exactly. So it's a real delicacy. Okay?
Wow.
So go to the Sephardic families in Israel and you'll be able to eat from
the
keva.
The Zoroa, we said, was to take the first rib and you go down and...
Daf Kuf Lamed Miachim, we have the Mishnah, the whole description of the cave, and then we're going to discuss it in great length. The Zeroya happens to be part of the arm, so that's lower down. The cave is the part of the chest cavity, and the Chayim are the jaws, the cheeks. Okay, we'll talk about that more. Excuse me. How are we getting there? There's another aspect of the cave. It says in the Torah that it's part of the Aymerin that you had to put on the Mizbeach. It says in the pasuk, "V'eskol acherev asher ala kerev." The question is, what is the V'eskol acherev? What does that come to be marva? We'll have a machloikis. One man will say that you have to put the chelev of the keva, not the keva itself, the chelev of the keva on the mizbeach. Based on that, we're now going to have a somewhat lengthy discussion about the chelev on top of the keva. In other words, you have chelev throughout the body, but we're talking specifically chelev on the keva. Since you're giving the keva to the kehanim, can they not only eat the keva and make pictures and paintings of the keva and make special delicacies in the Sephardic community because it's really delicious, but can they also eat the chelev of the keva? Chelev, of course, as we had in the Gemara before, is a generic term that refers to fats of an animal. We chazal, when we want to talk about kosher chelev, instead of saying non-kosher chelev, kosher chelev, we say chelev and shuman. So the question is the chelev on top of the keva, is that bona fide osur dika keva, fat? Or do you say it's kosher shuman, is it permissible? And therefore we're going to have a machloikus about this in the Gemara. Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amr Rav Yishia, chelev shel gabi keva kohanim noagu boy heter k'Rabbi Shmuel she'om mishem avoysav. Rabbi Shmuel, who we'll see momentarily, was a kohen, would quote his avos, previous generations, and would say, yes, I remember in the good old days when we shechted, when people shechted animals, they gave the Zeroya lechayim hakeva to the kahanim, and on top of the keva, often there would also be the chelev ala keva, and the kahanim would say, not only is the keva delicious, but the chelev is delicious. Noagu v'heta, they would go and eat from it as well. Now, even though our Gemara is focusing on the kahanim, Tosfos says the same thing applies also to Yisraelim. The only reason why we talk about Kahanim is because since the minik, not the minik, the chiyuv was that you had to go and give the keva to the kohen. So often you had the chelev on top of it. You gave him kind of an additional present, icing on the cake.
A tip,
yeah, an icing on the cake. He gave the cave on top of the cave. You see, look at the Rashi, then not Rashi, the toys, the second toys is from the top. Kohanim no gohet, what did Yisraelim? The Kohanim did not get Levisha cave and Nitma Kohanim. But the same thing applies to ordinary Yisraelim as well. They can all eat from the cave. That's what Rabbi Shmuel Paskin, the name of Avoisa. Now, for you to remember all of this, the Simon of the Simon is Yishmol Kahana Misayeya Kahani. Yishmol, who was a Kohen, he helped out his brethren, the other Kahanim, and he told all of them, when you get the Keva, you can keep the Chedav on the Keva, and you can even use it. It's kosher, no problem. Frank Timara, Mahi, where did we find elsewhere that Yishmol Kahana was Misayeya Kahani? Because this Simon sounds like that was kind of his standard practice. Wherever he could, he would help out his brethren, the other Kahanim. So can you show me where else he's been Misayeya Kahani? Yes, the sign we learned in the Braisa. Ko Yisvorchus B'nai Yisrael Moelahem, and of course those are the brachos which are enumerated in Masecht, not Masecht, in Parshas Nosai, the brachos that Kahanim do when they dichen in Eretz Yisrael every day of the week, and here on Yom Tov. Anyway, so Ko Yisvorchus B'nai Yisrael Moelahem. Rabbi Shmuel Oymer Lamanu Brach Yisrael Mepi Kahanim. Now, it's clear that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave this mitzvah that Yidden are going to be blessed. Kodesh Baruch Hu is B'nai Yisrael. Who the Kahanim go? Amor Lehem, go and tell the Kahanim, go and bless the Yidden. No. So that's clear. We see the Baruch Hu Yisrael B'Kahanim. What about Kahanim Atzman? Lo Yilaman, who doesn't say anywhere in the Fadish in the Torah that they are also blessed. And who's blessing them? The Kahanim don't bless themselves. Oh, Kishuayim, but it says at the end of the brachis of the Kuna, the Samuel Shmiel B'nai Yisrael, Vani Avorachim. Oh, Ani Avorachim, Abi Yom Kahanim Avorachim Li Yisrael, Begadish Baruch Hu Avorach Li Kohanim. In other words, what's the definition of Avorachim? Says a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the Kohanim, because you are going to go and bless Klal Yisrael, then I'm going to bless you, Vani Avorachim, meaning to the Kohanim. In that sense, Rabbi Shmuel was Kahan Misayeya Kahani. Why? Because there's another way of understanding Vani Vorachim. And what is that? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Leman LeBrach LeYisrael Mipi Kohanim. We know that the Kohen gives the bracha to Yidden through Dichanim. Mipi Gevura Lo Yishemanu. Where do we find that Kodesh Baruch Hu directly gives a bracha without an intermediary? Kishu Omer Vani Avorachim. What's pshat havi oimer kohanim mevorchem Yisrael veKodesh Baruch Hu maskim al yodam. When the kohanim are finished doing the tichanin, it's kaviyochel as if the Rabbi Yisrael is saying, "Amen, yes, I agree, I also avorchem." So obviously we have a machloikis. How do you interpret the word avorchem? Does it mean ani kaviyochel Rabbi Yisrael blesses now the kohanim, which is what Rabbi Shmuel learned, or does it mean avorchem? I'm going to go and bless the Yidden, just like the kohanim went and blessed the Yisraelim. I'm also blessing Israel. Oh, so now we have an understanding why the Gemara refers to Rabbi Shmuel Kahana, the Siyah Kahani, because he is a recipient, together with the rest of his brethren, the Kahanim, of brachas from the Rabbi Shmuel. Frank Timara, that's beautiful. Rabbi Kiva, brachal Kahanim in Ole. How does he know that it must be somewhere that the Kahanim get a bracha? It would be unfair that we Yisraelim should get the brachas and the Kahanim shouldn't get a bracha. Amram Nachman Yitzchak, Mevorachum Avarachecha, Umekalelcha O'or, V'nivruchu B'cha. The pasuk that it says by Avram Avinu, that Mevorachum Avarachecha doesn't only refer to Avram Avinu and his immediate family, but we're talking about for all generations, including the Kahanim. So Rabbi Kiva agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses the Kohan. So how is Rabbi Shmuel considered to be a Messiah Kahani? Rabbi Kiva is also a Messiah Kahani. He also said that they get a bracha from the Rabbi Shlom. Oh, my Messiah Kahani. So tomorrow, the Mukil Alamichas Kahanin, the Mokim Bracha di Yisrael, that it's happening contemporaneously or simultaneously. That the same time that the Yidden are getting blessed, that's the same time that the Kahanim are getting blessed. Oh, so that's Messiah Kahani. They feel good, so to speak, that Klal Yisrael as one entity, as one unit, the Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, everybody's getting blessed at the same time. Although they get a generic bracha generally, but it's not specifically at the time when they're blessing Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of this shtickle, and that is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachmani, Rabbi Oishi, Chedev Shel Gabi Keva. Kahanim no gubahet like Rabbi Shmuel Shem Mishma Voice. So where is this Rabbi Shmuel Shema Voice? So my decided we have a brice. The Eis Kol Achil V'Asher Al HaKerev. The Gemara leaves out the Vav, but that's the key to this Gemara. The Eis Kol Achil V'Asher Al HaKerev V'Goymer. That's L'Hovi Chilev Shal Gabi Adaki. Now, to see the Pasuk in its entirety, you have the Torah Ora Shalom. You can look at Aleph here on the Amud Beis. Now we're talking about putting the aimer and the chalovim on the mizbeach. That's achev machasis akerev. Kerev means the innard. The eis kol achev v'ashal akerev. Didn't I just talk about the achev machasis akerev? What's the eis kol achev v'ashal akerev? The vav of the eis kol achev, says Rashi, that comes to be marba not only the chalov on the innard, but the chalov on something else. What is that something else? Machlekes Rishmol and Rabbi Kiva. Dr. Gemara in the top. Lahavi chiluv shel gabi hadakin. Dakin means on the intestines. Divrei Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Kiva Omer lahavi chiluv shel gabi hakeva. No, the chiluv shel gabi keva also went on the mizbeach. Okay, so now let's think about this. Every time you have a carbon, and it's talking about a carbon that the kohanim can eat from, are they allowed to eat the chiluv? Chelev, which is on the Mizbeach, is Rabbeinu Shlom's Chelev. They cannot eat from it. So Rabbi Kiva says that one of the Chelevim that you put on the Mizbeach, the Eis Kol HaChelev Shel HaKerev, that comes to include the Chelev Shel Gabi HaKeva. The Kahanim are not happy because they're getting, normally by all Geshachtan animals, they're getting Keva. They'd like to get the Chelev. Rabbi Kiva says, you can't eat that Chelev. That Chelev is the Rabbeinu Shlom's. In other words, it's Chelev Osir. It's not Shuman. You're not allowed to eat it. But Rabbi Shmuel said, no. You can eat Chelev Al Gabi Akeva. In fact, my Ovis ate it for many, many years. Whenever they got Keva from a regular Geshachtan animal, they got only the Keva. They also got some Chelev on top. Icing on the cake. It was delicious. No problem. What about this? The Eis Kol HaChelev? That's referring to Chelev Al Gabi Adakin on the intestines. Yeah, that goes on the Mizbeach. But not the Chelev Shel Gabi Akeva. Okay, so if we would stop right over here, now we know which Rabbi Shmuel, this is the Rabbi Shmuel of this first Braisa, that says that the Chelev Shel Gabi Keva was not put on the Mizbeach, but it was eaten by the Kehanim. So therefore, even by a regular, normal Geshachtan animal, not talking about now Kodjim, regular animal, just like the god Zerah L'chaim, the Ha Keva, they also received part of the Chelev Shel Gabi Keva. They were allowed to eat it, no problem. So that's what the Gemara says in the Amud Aleph, the Kahanim Noagu Bayheter, and like Tosis said, Yisraelim as well. So that answers the Makoyer of this Rabbi Shmuel B'Shem Avoyser. But for Eitimara Mini, before we continue on, I have a Stira. What's a Stira? Same Pasik. It's called a Chelev Asher Al HaKerev. Now our Gemara says Rabbi Shimon, but you notice on the side they change it to Rabbi Shmuel, which is the correct Gersa. The Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Ma'achil Machasis HaKerev, Krum v'niklaf. Af kol krum v'niklaf. What does that mean? By the fact that it says, not only chelev machasis akerev, v'yeis kol achev ashal akerev, there's a smichus, there's a hekish, to say that that additional v'yeis kol achelev that we're talking about is similar to the original chelev that we're talking about, that chelev machasis akerev. In which respect are they similar? That it's the chelev is not just lying there, but there's a krum on top of it, a nice thick membrane that keeps it together. The niklav, and that membrane could easily be removed. It's like almost like a ripoff. Yeah, it's almost like a plastic cover. You put a piece of plastic on it, and you pull the plastic off. So look at the Rashi krum v'niklav, third of the narrow lines of Rashi. Krum v'niklav, krum dak yesh. I love you. This is a thin membrane. V'niklav, niklav from Lashon of peeling it off. V'niklav akrum me'al ha'chelev she'ena odik boy kolkach. It is not very, very strongly attached and glued to the chelev, so you can remove that krum fairly easily. So that's the case of the chelev agabi akerev. The eis kol akerev, what does that come to tell you? Next Rashi, eis kol akrum, eis kol krum v'niklav, v'hayna chelev shel gabi ha'keva. The kolshken chelev shel gabi dak avada. The chelev shel gabi akeva also has a krum on top of it, v'niklav, and it's easily peelable. It's a krum dak. That is what the pasuk is referring to, put that on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Shmuel is now saying, you know what you put on the Mizbeach? The Chevev Shal Gabe HaKeva. Note that the brisa that we brought a moment ago at the top of the Yomid, that was Rabbi Kiva that said, Lahavi Chevev Al Gabe HaKeva. And now we're saying it's Rabbi Shmuel is the one that says you put it Al Gabe, the Chevev Shal Gabe HaKeva you put on the Mizbeach. And what does Rabbi Kiva say in this new brisa? Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Machilva Mechases HaKerev, Toisav Krum V'Niklav, Afkol Toisav Krum V'Niklav. What means Toisav? Rashi says Toisav is an Aramaic term, which means a simla. A simla means, normally a simla means a garment, but simla can also mean a large blanket or a cover, and therefore what the Gemara is telling us is, what the Torah is telling us is, that just like the Chilv Al-Gabi HaKerev on the innards, it is nicely spread out like a blanket that covers it nicely. Here too, I'm going to include other chaylev that is like a blanket that covers nicely a different part of the animal. And which part is that? That happens to be the chaylev shal gabe ha-dakin, but not the chaylev on the keva. Because the chaylev on the keva, says Rashi, einoy toisav. It is not a nice, beautiful blanket or cover over it, because it's chatichos, chatichos hu oduk. Instead of seeing this beautiful snow-like white covering of fats, rather you see a shtickle here, and a shtickle there, and a shtickle here, and a shtickle there. That's what the chelev akeva looks like. So therefore that does not qualify for the tois of krum v'niklav. That you don't put on the mizbeach. That instead can be eaten by the kahanim. So now it's mamish mikotze el hakotze. Rabbi Shmuel before said, you know what you go and put on the mizbeach, make sure you put on the dakin chelev. But don't put the chelev of the keva, because that's eaten by the kahanim. Rabbi Kiva said, no, just the opposite. Put the keva chelev on top. Ah, freitimor, but here in the stira, it's the second brisa, it's Rabbi Shmuel that says that the chelev machas the kerev, krum v'niklav, what does that include? Said Rashi, that's a cheva gabi a keva. That goes on the mizbeach, not eaten by the kahanim. It's Rabbi Kiva that said, no, that could be eaten by the kahanim. That's no problem. What you have to put on the mizbeach is a chelev shal gabi atakin. It's the chmamish, the first v'nahapachu. What's going on over here? Zok Yomara, Sholach Ravim Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan Kach Hi Hatzah Shel Mishnah. The way you explained it is very, very nice, meaning that we asked before what was the Rabbi Shmuel that was the friend of the Kahanim, he was Kahana and Mesayeh Kahani. She answered very nicely from that first brisa, that the first brisa says that you only go and put the Chev Al Adakin on the Mizbeach, but the Chev Al Akeva could be consumed by the Kahanim. That's very nice. Abba, I have a stira between the first brisa and the second brisa. So what am I going to do with that stira? Zok Yomara, the Epech Kamaisa. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to switch around in the first brisa. When we start the first brisa again on the top of the Amid, V'havi Chev Shal Gabi Adakin, not Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, V'havi Chev Shal Gabi Akiva. And now the two brises will be consistent. Right tomorrow, my chaz is the afkes kamaisa ebech brisa. Why is the second brisa considered to be that much more authentic and reliable than the first one? Maybe we should go and switch around the second brisa. So I'll tell you why. So tomorrow, shani hocha kivin diktoni ma dafka. The first brisa doesn't go into any logic or discussion. It just says lahavi. Period. The second brisa says no. One second, I'm going to show you. Ma chelim chasid kerev. It's got to be krum v'niklav. Afkol krum v'niklav. Says Rabbi Kiva. Ma chelim chasid kerev. Toisav krum v'niklav. So that sounds far more authoritative and reliable, because he's actually darshaning one part of the pasuk to the other pasuk when he's saying ma chelim chasid kerev, because the pasuk talks about chelim chasid kerev. And then it's a v'eiskol chelim. What about the second chelim hashal kerev? We have a smichus and we'd be makish one to the other. Just like this is krim v'niklav. This is like toys of krim v'niklav. Oh, so that sounds like a very authentic discussion among the chazal, exactly how to understand it. However, the first price is just stam, lahavi. Okay, so it's more likely that if there's a mistake, it's in the first and not in the second. Let's just finish two more lines and then we'll answer your question. Zok Yomara, shani yalkim v'niktoni ma adafka. Frank Yomara, but now I got a big problem. Now that I've reversed the first brisa, and I'm saying that it's Rabbi Shmuel that holds that you put the chelev al gabi hakeva on the mizbeach, and it's not eaten by the kahanim, it's Rabbi Kiva that says, no, chelev al gabi hakeva, leave it for the Kohanim. So now we should thank not Rabbi Yishmael, who's Messiah Kohani, we should thank Rabbi Kiva, he's the one that's Messiah Kohani. So he figured, why is an ice and a kasha? Everyone, Machma Yitzchak, Shomer Mishama, voice of Aleloi Sphirolei. Notice the voice of are not mentioned here, but back in the Omer Aleph, when we said that Rabbi Shmuel Kahana, Messiah Kahani, Rabbi Shmuel Shomer Mishama, voice of Rabbi Shmuel, the name of a voice of said that the Kiva can be eaten by the Kahanim. Yeah, yeah. I said, we care from Zayda, Elta Zayda, my father. That was the tradition in the family. Yeah, it's at, but I personally, I learned from the second Brisa, based on this I don't know that that's halacha l'maisa, but I'm telling you what my voice of held. So therefore, shenishka kasha anymore. It's the Omer Aleph was not Rabbi Shmuel on his own. He's just quoting what he heard from his avos, and according to them, you would be able to go and eat that chelev shel gabi akev. Yeah, what's up to you?
What's the inyan that Achelev and Brachat HaKohanim bring in the middle? What is the inyan here?
The only way we're bringing in the middle is because we said Rabbi Shmuel had this famous title. We didn't just refer to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Kahana Mesayer Kahani. That we find Rabbi Shmuel, who's a Kohen, he's always on the lookout to help out his brothers, the Kahana. So, two ways he has looked out for them. Number one, in our Gemara, that he said, B'shem Avoisav, that the Kahanim allowed to eat from the Chelev Akeva, Kishmak, those days didn't worry about cholesterol, mid calories, mid carbs, mid yamza. So that's great. Oh, you have all that Chelev. Ah, delicious, givaldi. So that was Messiah Kahani number one. But where else was Messiah Kahani? By the fact that he said that every time there's Dichanan, not only is there a blessing that's bestowed on Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, there's a blessing bestowed on the Kahanim. Oh, that's so nice. So heartwarming for the Kahanim that they shouldn't think we just gave away a freebie for Klal Yisrael. Well, what about us? So to Rabbi Shlom, I'm blessing you at the same time. Oh, they were so happy. They were smiling from ear to ear. Next shekel, Amar Rav. Chelev tohar soisem tamei ena soisem. We've spoken about many times already in the Gemara that there are various vital organs that have holes in them. Sometimes you have a good stima, which can go and close it up. Remember, we had a nikvah hamora v'hakoved soisim, then it's kosher, because it does an effective fix, an effective plug, plugs up the hole, kosher v'yusha. Question is chelev also an effective fix, a good stopper, that it plugs up a hole in a nearby vital organ? So says Rav, the rule is, if it's chelev tohar, meaning it's shuman, it's kosher, soisim. B'derech klal, if you look through the animal, the shuman that we say that is kosher happens to adhere almost like glue to whatever vital organ it is next to. And so therefore, if there's a hole in that vital organ, the chelev is there, soisim, kushev yushev. However, if you're talking about chelev tomei, that typically is the type of thing that we want to get rid of. So already inside the animal, the Kodesh Baruch Hu already made it in such a way that the chelev and the vital organ to which it is attached are not happy campers, arose. And therefore that chelev tomei is not soisim. It does not plug up holes. It says, you worry about your own problems, I worry about my problems.
It makes sense, because if it's a nikolaf easy, if it easily peels away, then it's not a good plug.
So then we're going to talk about that in the Gemara.
Why is it called tomei? It's so unusual. It's chelev that goes on the mizbeach.
What does it say in the Gemara what does it say in the Torah about a non-kosher animal? A behemah tomeiah. Behemet Tamei, it doesn't say Ashalei Tahira or Behemet Tamei.
But it's unusual because it's a chelev that's going on the Mizbeach.
Understood. We're not talking that it's
Tamei. Calling it Tamei feels like a derogatory term.
Okay, I'm sorry. But anyway, but it means non-kosher chelev. Zoktima, Rav Sheshes, Oymer, Echad Zevi, Echad Zevi, Echad Zevi. Both of them do a great job. So Frank Tetzimar, Boy Rav Zera, Chelev Chaya Mai. What's it done by Chelev Chaya? What does it mean by Chelev Chaya? Chelev chay, we know all chelev in a chay. Chay means like a deer, venison, kosher, wild beasts. We don't typically eat that on a regular basis, but chay is kosher. Good. What happens to chelev? All the chelev in a chay, from top to bottom, from nose to toes, is all kosher. All kosher. The question is, what about the chelev in the chay, which is bimkoim, the chelev in the behemah? Which, in other words, if it was located in that, if it was a behemah instead of a chayah, where that chelev is located, it's tamei, and it's enoi soisem. Now, in the parallel, the chaya, where that chalev is kosher, but it's on the same vital organ, is it soysim or not soysim? So boy Rab Zera, chalev chaya mai, dafka omar chalev tor, soysim, ay nami toru, lamaisa, it's chalev tor, it's inside the chaya. And a chaya chelev is tars. It's a good steamer. Maybe the reason is, like you were saying before, Barry, because the chelev of that, the chelev tar, is sticky, it's gluey, it's attached, it adheres.
It's a good plug.
It's a good plug. But however, the non-kosher chelev, it's not because it's non-kosher. The reason is because it's not sticky, it's not gluey, it doesn't adhere. So, bazoi, same thing would apply to the chaya. Don't look at the kashrus. Just look, does it do a good, is it a good attachment, a good fix or not? So that's what, so that's the shayla of the Gemara. Chaylev tar, soysim or not. Omer abay, mighty boy lay. I don't even understand the shayla. Need the shari b'achila. You're allowed to eat it. Haduk lemedik, abel amayse, if it doesn't do the job, if it doesn't plug, just because it smiles at that vital and says, I'm kosher, you're kosher, ha, nice to meet you. But if they're not mehedik, so of course it's not soysim. In fact, the abayis teretz is so simple, it's hard to understand what Reb Zeira's shayla was in the first place. So the Chiddush Ran says that the shayla was that Reb Zeira was unsure what's the reason why Rav said Chelev Torah Soisim and Tomei Eina Soisim. Is this Minat Torah or only Midraban? What means only Midraban? Them is Minat Torah. Everything is Soisim. Chelev is Chelev is Chelev. It doesn't matter. Yah adheres. It doesn't adhere. It is attached. It is sticky. All chaylev is soysim. The Rabban, however, were scared if you're going to go and say that chaylev tummy is soysim, and you're allowed to go and eat from the animal, you're allowed to eat from the vital organ to which this chaylev tummy is attached, they're going to think, oh, if it's attached and it does a good steamer job, it's a good fix, it itself probably happens to be kosher, because, you know, if it's able to go and fix up the other guy, and make the mora, the chedreya, the chelev, the kovet, or whatever. If it's able to be soysim, then probably it's kosher thing. And people might come to err and to eat from that chelev. And that's the reason why they said, even though in terms of the physics, in terms of the physicality of the chelev, chelev tameh does a great job, just like chelev tar, but to make a geder, a gzera, not to eat, that's what the Gemara thought initially. Says, Abaye, no. The Indian of not eating chaylev, not eating chaylev. Whether chaylev is a soysim or not a good soysim, that's min ha-toyra. When Rav said, chaylev tummy ain't a soysim, it's not because gzeres drabanon. And what's the reason why? Talking because of the physicality, because it doesn't attach itself that closely like the chaylev tar. And therefore, when it comes to a chaya, same thing. The chaylev that you find in the chaya on those vital organs where typically chaylev tummy does not, is not soysim. Same thing would apply in the chaya, even though this chaylev technically is tar to eat. Zokti Gemara Vaita, who nekev this sosma chaylev tomei, the oslakami de rova. So now, remember, we've been focusing on Rav, but there really is a machloik between Rav and Rav Sheshes. Rav is the one that said, chaylev tar soysim, tomei, ain't soysim. Rav Sheshes said, echazeb, echazeb, it makes no difference, chaylev, it's all soysim. So we had such a situation. Who nekev the sosma chaylev in one of the dakin or one of the keres? Okay, Rashi goes through which ones of the organs had a hole, and there was chaylev tummy on top of it. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav or like Rav Sheshes? Also the comment to Rava, Omer Rava, l'may nechishlam. I don't understand what the problem is. Chodid yom Rav Sheshes chaylev tummy nami soysim. We have Rav Sheshes authoritative. He says it's soysim. Otherwise, you're going to say this whole behemoth is treif. You're going to lose that $500 on a festa grub of behemoth. How do we know Torah Chosam Moinim Sheisrael? So Rashi brings the famous Chazal, Legabe Tzaras Babayas. If a person has a home and he finds that they have blotches and blemishes and spots on top of the walls, he calls the Kohen, and the Kohen comes in. The first thing he says is, Rabbi Isai, oh, Fino and Sabayas, take out all the furniture, all the fixtures, everything that's here. Not a person, not a piece of food, not a table, not a chair. Every altz aros. Get it all out of the house. Why? Because shortly I'm going to go and issue my psak, and the psak likely is that, in fact, it happens to be a base tzaras, a bayis, a manuga. Then everything and anything inside the house is going to become tummy. So the Gemara elsewhere, Rashi brings it actually from Teres Kahanim, that Rav Meir said, I don't understand. Anything and everything, okay, the food, you're right. But when you're talking about the furniture, if you're going to tell me that it became tamei, go to a mikveh, put it into the mikveh, it'll become tar again. You know, you do tefilas kelim. So what's the concern? The concern is about the kli cheres. Kli cheres, there is no such thing as a tahara mikveh. The only tahara by kli cheres is shvira. You can have kli cheres, it's pennies. Kli cheres is not very valuable. I'm worried about my goldware, my silverware, my sterling steel, you know, the things in metal. Yeah, that's a choshev. Well, my glass. Kli cheres is a gunish. Torah chasal minish Yisrael. Shnell, take it out of the house before the koyin pronounces everything inside the house. Tamei. Oh, so we see Torah Chasal Minay. So says Rav over here too. You have a machlokes Rav and Rav Sheshes. I'm going to follow Rav Sheshes. Torah Chasal Minay Shishon. Rav Papa was quite upset. Omle Rav Papa le Rava. You're taking Rav Sheshes over Rav. Rav Visura Diraisa. This is not a Shaila Diraban. This is a Diraisa. Talking about a Nekev in one of those places which makes a treif, Eilu Treifus. So now you have a Shaila. Is the Chelev Tomei Soisimarat? So you grab hold of Rav Sheshes and you ignore Rav. The At Amris, the Torah Chasal Manish Yisrael, using this expression, Torah Chasal Manish Yisrael, then you can be matter a lot of Isurim. Anytime you have a Psashayla, Torah Chasal Manish Yisrael, you can't go and just say blankly, So Rav Papa did not agree with Rava, and he felt we should be machmir like Rav, that in fact the non kosher chaylev is not a good sisis.
His real question was on Rav Sheshes, Rav Papa. It was
why is good?
Rav Sheshes was matir.
Why was he matir? Because he holds it was okay. He says that it's a good adherence, it's a good attachment.
Because he said it doesn't matter.
It matters a lot. It's at least two rubber. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us a story. Minyumin Kanduka. Minyumin was his name. Kanduka, says Rashi, means a moicher kadim, someone who would go and sell barrels. Kadim are typically smaller barrels, not like the chovias. Only more in Bava Kama, right? And the chovias and the kad. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so Minyumin Kanduka, that was his business. He sold kadim, such barrels. Igli lay bistika de duvsha. A barrel that he had that was full of dvash, full of honey, was igli lay. Igli lay means that it got uncovered and was uncovered for a period of time. Aye. Nobody was around. Aye. As you know, in the times of Chazal, they were makbid in something called giloy. Even today, there are people that are makbid in giloy, but it's not a very common custom. Why were they concerned about giloy? Because in the good old days, they lived in rural communities and there were a lot of Nechashim, a lot of snakes, and the snakes, when they smelled something sweet, they would go to that
taste.
To go and taste it. And they said, it's not good. Not as good as Gnendel next door, but Yenta makes a good, and it's nice and sweet, like a shmak. Okay, so now the problem is, if they would only take from the Dvash, it wouldn't be a problem. But sometimes they're not just takers, but they're also givers. And they give their venom, and the venom goes into the dvash. And now when Yom Kaduka says, what am I going to do? Also, the Kami Drabi comes in front of the Rav. Now you're wondering, how did we get into this? You'll see in a moment what the commonality is between this Gemara and the earlier Gemara. So you come in front of the Rav. What's to be concerned about? Now we have a Mishnah. There are only three mashkas that the Chum said you have to worry about that the snakes drink from. The yayin, wine, mayim, water, and cholov, and from milk. The shakal mashkas, everything else is mutter. So, obviously, dvash is not yayin, mayim, or cholov, it's mutter. The ayidat ayidat chasl manisha Yisrael. So you see now why we brought this Gemara, because it's similar to the Rava of the previous one. Again, Rav. Only Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Rava. Rav Nachman Yitzchak got just as agitated as Rav Papa did. And he said, Rava, Reb Shimon, Sakonis Nefashois. Reb Shimon holds that Dvash, in fact, is osir, just like the Yayin, the Mayim, and the Cholev. Dvash is also. Where's that Reb Shimon? You can have it in another two lines. Stay tuned, Rabbi Zay. Reb Shimon, he holds this, and it's Sakonis Nefashois. The Atam is very chosel, Mamoinim Sheyis. Oh, come on. This is worse. Chamira Sakanta Meisura. Not only in the previous case was a shayla of Isser, here the shayla of Sakana, and you are not being chos on the life of the Yisrael. Somebody's going to eat from this dvash and chas v'shalom is going to have the venom.
Maybe they value their money more than their lives. The chol
mo'odecha. Ah, exactly.
So also the shratzim, which is not tameh, if he eats it, the dvash become
tameh,
no?
We're not worried about the tum over here. First of all, a nochash is not one of the Shmoyni Shiratzim. And number two, the Shmoyni Shiratzim only matame when they're dead, and not when they're alive.
So a dead sheretz usually doesn't drink from the dvash. It's already beyond his lifespan. He might have left in his last will and testament for his children that they should eat dvash, but he can no longer eat. Anyway, but getting back to Gemara, so you just said now that Reb Shimon, it holds that it's osur. In other words, it's a shayla of gili. Reb Shimon, there's the Reb Shimon. The sanya, chamisha, ein ben mishim gili. There are five that you don't have to worry about gili. What are those five? Tzir is fish brine, fish yoach, like you have when you eat fish on Shabbos and Friday. Yeah, you have it together with that, the fish sauce. The chaymitz is vinegar. Shemen is oil. Dvash, the honey. Murius is a fish hash, meaning it's not just the fish sauce, but also pieces of fish and bones and little fat. And all that's like fish hash. Okay, so all these five you don't have to worry about. Emiv shem gilui. That's a Tanakam. Reb Shimon Oimer, Afhein, Yesh b'mishim gilui. Oh, so you see Reb Shimon holds even by Devash this gilui. And that's why Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to Rava, you're willing to forget about Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi, and go and say, yeah, Zigunish, Reb Shimon, and succumb to the Farshis. Vom Reb Shimon now further states, not about Devash, but he says, Ani Re'isi Nochash Shosa Tzir Mitzayden. I was once in Sidon, and I saw the Nochash drinking from Tzir. I saw it myself. In fact, I took a picture of it. Internet, it went viral. 3 billion people across the world that had nothing else to do, they saw the picture of the Nochash drinking from the Tzir inside. So you see that Nochash do drink from Tzir. Amrulai, they said, Nishkarai, Shatya Havya. That Nochash was a Shoite. In other words, it was probably a rabid snake. It was, you know, Tzidrait. You're normal. You go among all the snakes and you take an opinion poll. Do you like Tzir or not? 99% Tzir. I'm not interested. However, this Nochash, well, that's a Tzidrait. Good. Amalei oidli mias, at least be moide me, the tzir. By tzir, that what? That tzir is not an issue. How do I know it's not an issue? In other words, that it's not, there's no problem of gili. The rapapa, ravuna brebishu, verabanan, kihavulahu giluya, if they had one of the mashkois where there is a problem of gili, such as yai and mai and cholov, like we said before, you know what they did? Shodalei betzir, they would go and mix it in the tzir because the tzir had in it some sort of acidic character,
neutralizing quality,
and it neutralizes the venom of the snake. So anytime that you have a problem of giloy, you have extra water, you have extra yain, oh, you the snake may have drunk, go and pour it into the tzir, and you'll see. It may spoil the wine, but at least it will be edible and drinkable because of the fact that the venom will be destroyed. Amalei oily me of the dvash, but at least agree to me by dvash that don't eat from the dvash and that there is giloy. Reb Shimon ben Elazar koyi kavosei, because Reb Shimon Elazar holds like Reb Shimon bar Yechoi. The side of Reb Shimon Elazar oiser bidvash. He also agreed to the other Reb Shimon also bidvash. So you might think to yourself, maybe the other Reb Shimon is also Reb Shimon Elazar. Says Rashi over here. Rashi, a couple of Rashi's in Shas. Stam Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon ben Yechoi. So anytime you have Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon bar Yechoi. Yeah, that was in a good convention about maybe 25 or 30 years ago. And the theme of the convention was, what did we lose in the Holocaust? What's the difference between the Holocaust and today? So they had many very interesting speakers, each talking about their own town, their own city, whatever. So Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, from Montreal, Grace Lubavitch Chusin, Goyin Oilam. Anyway, they asked him to go and speak, and he says, I will tell you what we are missing as a result of the Holocaust. He says, I learned in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin by the Ramey Shapiro, the one that instituted the Daf Yomi, and the Mashgiach in the yeshiva was Reb Shimla Zelichover. Zelichover means he came from the Zelichover. He came from, oh, so maybe you know him. So he comes from the town of Zelichover. And his name was Reb Shimla, in other words, Reb Shimon, and they call him Shimla. He said, just to get an idea of what he looked like a homeless individual because he walked around at all times with two very large bags, maybe suitcases, wherever he went. And people asked him, why are you always schlepping a look? And he was also wearing, during the summer, he was wearing a winter coat. People asked him, well, why is that? He says that, Baruch Hashem, he has no oilam hazeh to speak of. He doesn't own an apartment, doesn't have a house. Therefore, all of his earthly possessions that he has, he always carries around with him wherever he goes. The reason why he's wearing his coat, I have nowhere to put the coat. So I'm wearing the coat. And in my bags, I probably have three sweaters and other things. Whatever earthly possessions he had, wow. Okay, so let's hear what's so special about it. So it said it was on Lag BaOmer. Reb Shimon Zelichover apparently had an attraction. He liked Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung. Pinchas Hirschsprung at that time was a young bucher, Pinyala, and he said to Reb Pinchas, "You know what? It says that whenever you go and quote a tzaddik from a previous generation, then sifsoisav doiva voice bakever. It's as if he is still around and he's saying that vatoira, especially on his yard site. And tonight is Lag BaOmer." So let's review all the maimorim of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in Shas.
Wow.
And he said to Pinyala, here, nada means take from me, a Mishnayis. It was a one volume Mishnayis, gave it to him, start looking. And he said that Reb Shimon Lezelechov had started quoting Baal Peh, every single Reb Shimon from the beginning of Shas. Rochois, into Peya, into Demai, into Kilayim, Trumis, Maestris, Masasheni, the entire Seder's run. Now let's go on to Shabbos, in other words, Seder Moed, Shabbos, and Erevin, and Psochim, Beya, etc., the entire. Now into Nezikim. Said Reb Pinchas, he said, 4 hours later, Reb Shimon Zelichover is still going full speed ahead. He says, "Hatrachmunis of me, have mercy. I can't take it anymore. Again, another. I just don't have the patience anymore." 4 hours straight was going through every Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in Shas.
Wow.
Every Reb Shimon, all Baal Peh.
Everything.
It was Reb Shimon. Maybe that's why. Reb Shimon Zelichover, the family name, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're missing since the Holocaust. What type of goyim do we have today that can go and recite every single Reb Shimon from the beginning?
Who was the rabbi in Montreal?
Montreal was Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung. Not Hirschsprung. I heard that, people don't travel at that time like they travel today, where people go on planes back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So he was once coming to New York for a chasana or something, and Reb Moshe was at that chasana, and Reb Moshe heard that Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung is going to come. So Reb Moshe was there up front, he came early, and every time the door opened, he stood up. You know, Reb Moshe was a short man, and he looked up to see, not Reb Pinchas. Second time, third time, after 25 times, finally, Reb Pinchas, and he ran over to me, he hugged him, and he kissed him, because he knew what a goyin ha-goyinim he was, and
wow.
He knew.
He's one of the first rabbeim who came to North America during the Holocaust, mm-hmm. and described what was going on in the war. He was one of the first, he wrote a book, and he described just the beginning of the war, what was happening to the Jews in Poland.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Stam Reb Shimon, whenever you come across Reb Shimon throughout Shas, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in Mirab. And we continue on with Yomar Yitzvah to the Haltmendo. Okay, we're up to the period. Oh, good. So we're 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and therefore the Gemara said, by Devash you should be makbid, because it's not only Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, but it's also Reb Shimon Alav, so they both hold that the Nechoshim eat from the Devash. Amar of Nachman, Chelev Osi Kekoiva, if you have that the Chelev is not just lying there flat nicely, but it comes up like a helmet, like a hat, meaning it comes like a cone, like these parking zone cones, coming up like a koga, anus, that doesn't do a good job. Heicha, where does the chelev in an animal, where is that that you're describing? Amrila, chitid the karkasha, the amrila, tarpisha the liba. Others say chitid the karkasha. Karkasha means down below the anus that comes
rectum,
from
where? Rectum.
Rectum.
But I have a picture.
Yeah, okay, but don't show the picture. Anyway,
this has to be rectified.
You don't have to be that graphic, right? Rectified, good. Anyway, the point is that over there, the chelev is in the animal in the form of such a cone. And others say tarpisha the liver. Lev, of course, is the heart. Tarpisha is also a membrane over the heart. There, too, you have chelev. That is chelev that looks like a kova nishkit. Amarava, Shamas bin Eder Nachman Tarti. I heard two things about the following types of chelev. There's chimtza and bar chimtza. Now, what exactly chimtza bar chimtza are, we're not going to learn today, we're going to learn tomorrow. You see, the last line, the Gemara is going to say, hi, chimtza bar chimtza, what are they? But they're both different types of chelev. One was called chimtza, one was called bar chimtza. Chad sosim, one worked beautifully. Chad loisosim, so the other one did not work to go and be sosim to plug up a hole. I don't know which one is which. In other words, which one is the good plugger and which one is not the good plugger. So Rav Huna bar chimtza, Rav Huna bar Reid, Rav Nachman, Omer, they said that bar chimtza sosim, bar chimtza does a great job, the chimtza loy sosim. So the Gemara now says a mnemonic. after the shir is over, someone's going to ask you, so which one is the soysim, which one is the soysim? From Rav Tavis, the simana for simon is, yofa koyecha ben, mi koyecha av. That sometimes the koyecha ben is strong in the koyecha. Where's that sometimes? So Rashi says it's referring to a case of a Yerusha, where if the father was still alive and he wants to go and get paid from the malva, from the loiva, the loiva didn't pay him, he could only get paid if he made a shvur that he was not paid. Masha'enkein, if you're talking about if the father passed away and now you have the son can go and collect shaloi b'shvur because the son doesn't know the history, what happened. So he can be goyva b'shvur shaloi, even shaloi b'shvur. The father only b'shvur. So you see, in that respect, yofa koyach amen, the son's koyach, which is derivative of the father's koyach, is greater than the father's koyach, because the father could only collect on that debt by making a shvur, and the son can collect even without the shvur. So here too, the bar chimtza is greater than the chimtza. The chimtza is not soysim, not a good plan. But the bar chimtza is, yofa koyach amen, mi koyach ha'av.